It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay. Yeah. Stop laughing, because we got serious business. Focus. I showed him a good one over the break, people.
Yep, it was good.
All right. Hello. And welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast in the world. I thought I had one.
Uh-huh.
I haven't got nothing. The only podcast in the world, originally translated from the Latin, means Romans go home. I'm Tony,
and I'm William, and this is episode 249?
Yes.
Yeah.
Seriously, we just...
I know, but like whole hours gone
but
by.
But here's how it gets weird, people. Like, you're hearing 249, but we're recording it on the day of 248. And then, by when you're hearing this, we'll be recording 250.
Yeah.
So,
usually weird. Usually when we record two like this, we don't get together the next Thursday. But we will be getting together.
We will be to do two more.
To do two more.
Or one more. We're not sure
yet. Yeah, we've got to figure that out.
A thing. And so here we are.
Yeah.
For those of you just joining us, I really should record this. I mean, we are recording this, but we should make... I thought about making like an opening theme that includes the blurb, but here's the deal. We have a hat. It's magical. And that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And people like yourselves write into that address with little notes, comments, questions, topics, things like that. And the hat magically, all on its own, transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. We, its Ezzy servants, I'm looking at Ezzy, so that's what I got, draw randomly out of the hat. Read them on the air, talk about them until we're bored. That is the whole show.
Yep.
So here we are. So, William, how was your 10 minutes?
It was good.
See any movies?
I saw a sketch. It was pretty funny.
All right.
Pretty funny.
Okay, then.
You keeping up on Just Felt Between Us?
7 feet onto the roof of a Long John Silver's. Well, what do you mean keeping up? I haven't gone through the backlog. I'm up to... The videos I'm watching now are 8 months old, so okay. I'm getting closer.
That's getting closer.
Yeah, but I'm still totally going through them. They're still cracking me up. And they're just sweet. I don't know. They're nice. What did I see recently that I specifically thought of you? I was like, William would appreciate this. I don't remember. All right, then. Too bad. That's probably a book. You don't read those.
I do, too.
I am... If it weren't for the fact that Into the Badlands is only a 6-episode season, I might give up. It's rough. For the same usual damn reason. I don't care about any of them.
Yeah.
We could just nuke the whole show, and I wouldn't care. But the other side of it is it's gorgeous. It really looks amazing. And cool fight scenes. Well, sometimes cool fight scenes. Sometimes really dumb fight scenes. But most of the time, cool fight scenes.
I don't think Supergirl's going to make it.
You don't think?
No. And I'll tell you why.
Yeah, I'm curious. You don't mean with you. You mean as a show.
Well, as a show. And for me personally, when it does something right, it does it really right. I mean, I love it when it's right. But when it's wrong, it's pretty wrong. I mean, I'm... She's got two relationships, one with her Devil Wears Prada cliche boss.
Yes, close to Lockhart.
And the other with Jimmy Olsen, who she's, in the context of the show, she's only just met, but constantly is pining after for some reason. Because,
to be fair, He's gorgeous.
That's whether or not that's true is beside the point. It doesn't make any sense, and there's really no chemistry there, and it's just ridiculous. So anytime the show does not include either of those characters, it's really awesome. And she's awesome. the last episode,
she it was my favorite part about the show. That actress and that character.
The last episode had a great moment. A great moment that even included Calissa Flockhart's character. But it was at the midpoint of the show, and so they had to do something with the rest of it, and it was all with Jimmy, and it was so terrible, awful. And it almost made that first part of the show not even worth it. So while I would continue watching it just for those amazing moments that it has, I don't think other people are going to stick with it, and it might not make it. I can imagine it sort
of. But you also have to factor in that the parts that drive you insane don't necessarily drive everyone.
I realize that's true, but I can imagine maybe a significant number of viewers liking the romance part, even though I don't think it's working. I don't think it's probably working.
Watched Sex and the City would like the Calista Flockhart character. She seems like a weird amalgam of all of them.
Maybe, but I'm getting the feeling that even though those parts. The parts that don't work for me, they don't work for me for reasons that relate directly to me. I think there are other things about them that would make them not work for other people, too.
Well, that's a shame now, because now every TV maker in the world is going to point to Supergirl for the next 10 years and be like, see?
That's what I'm afraid of. That's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah.
But hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully the parts that really bother me either don't bother anyone else, or maybe other people love them. I don't know.
Well, it's a numbers game. Even if it bothers them, you're still watching. If people are still watching, true. Generally speaking, if you can give a show a second season, it can find its feet, and whether those are feet you like are a different story.
But yeah, the reason I'm saying that is because I'm starting to wonder if I'm not the only one that doesn't like these things. And maybe other people dislike it for other reasons, but that's still bad, because that means it won't get another season or whatever. But where it does things right, I think it does it really right, and I really like it. And I hope it can muscle past all of it.
Monday is the premiere of The Expanse. I'm very excited about that. Mm. More space sci-fi, and we need more of that.
Yes, we do. I hadn't even heard of it, though.
I hadn't either. Apparently, it's a fairly successful series of books.
Okay.
And also, actually, I believe next Wednesday, just for shits and giggles, they are showing commercial-free the pilot for the Magicians series.
This will have been yesterday for the listener.
Yes, for the Magicians series, which doesn't start until January 25th, but they're apparently that excited about it.
Well, for,
and I'm like, I want to see that.
For most of the fall shows, this week that we're in, that the listeners are in, has been the first week of hiatus, so winter hiatus
everything. A lot of winter finales and shit like that.
So there probably will be a few sneak previews and premieres and stuff.
I am about to delete a bunch of stuff off the DVR.
Because you just don't think you're ever going to get to it?
Because I'm clearly not.
Yeah.
But it's sad, because it's stuff that I feel like I should. But, like, I never saw literally the last 5 episodes of Warehouse 13.
I don't. But we didn't either.
But I saw because the last quote-unquote season was 6 episodes. I saw the first one. I have the others on the DVR. I haven't watched them. Also, I'm probably going to ditch 25 episodes of Defiance. Because I'm just not bothering. Mm. And I'm watching less TV anyway. I'm watching more streaming stuff, like watching Amazon series and stuff like that. I don't know.
Excuse me. Well, a lot of the things that you'd be getting rid of, you might be able to find streaming eventually.
Absolutely,
anyway.
Eventually.
Warehouse 13 will probably be on Netflix
let's
someday.
Let's be honest, I'm never going to bother. But that's my thinking. I'm like, if I do, it's going to be years from now, and I'll just find it.
Yeah.
It's silly to have it on the DVR, because you know what? Within a year, it'll overheat again or whatever, and we'll get a new one, and I'll lose it all anyway.
Yeah.
And it's just dumb to have it there, because every time I look at it, I'm like, should I? No, I'm not going. And then I feel a little guilty and weird, and so, you know, I'll move on. And there are new shows coming out I'm interested in, and then I like watching movies. Remember all the shitty movies I watched over Thanksgiving?
Yes.
They were shitty. But it reminded me, I like watching movies.
And
there's a ton of movies. I've got HBO Go, I've got Amazon Prime, and I've got Netflix. There's so many movies.
Yep, lots of movies.
And TV shows, for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. And, like, other stuff. I've got like an entire season and a half of Archer on there. Pretty sure I can get that streaming now, so I'll just grab that. But yeah, I mean, there's just a finite number of things. I like playing video games. I like reading. There's new shows coming, and there's still some other. We've got like 5 or 6 episodes of the new season of Elementary, and I haven't touched them yet, but I'm very excited to because I love that show. Did you guys ever watch that show?
We didn't like it, but we probably didn't give it a fair shake.
Well, if you'll recall, as I said, first 4 episodes suck.
Well,
straight up suck.
I'm sure we watched fewer than that.
I don't remember the circumstance at the time, but we must have had nothing on. Because shows that were better than that, we got rid of immediately. I do not know why we kept watching that, but I'm glad we did. Because just at some point, a few episodes in, it's mostly the two main characters suddenly have chemistry. And I don't know how that happened. And from there, it's just awesome.
I like them both as actors.
Me too.
No question about that.
I was sort of lukewarm on Lucy Liu. The show is actually convincing me that I should give her more credit. And I... Fuck it. I like Johnny Lee Miller the way most people like Benedict Cumberbatch. I have always liked him. I feel like there's a lot of things he does that aren't that good, unfortunately. But
I don't know. We loved him in Eli Stone. We thought...
I'm thinking I should go back and catch that sometimes.
To me, it was a good show. Even up to the point that it got canceled, it was really good, I thought.
But then there's like Aeon Flux. I mean, I guess I can't say he was bad in that. He did as well as he could in that shitty, shitty movie. yeah, so I'm excited that's back. We're not finished with Fargo. We've got like 3 episodes on there, but I think it's done now. People are sort of talking like it's done, so we probably need to finish it up quick before too many spoilers get out. But enjoyed that a lot. And then there's a lot, like Netflix is going crazy with their original shows, and some of them I want to watch. I haven't checked out Frankie and What's It with Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda.
Yeah, we haven't either.
Haven't checked out Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Not at all?
No, not even one episode.
We liked it a lot.
There's Amazon's got some stuff. We still haven't done Transparent. I kind of want to check out Mozart in the Jungle. There's a lot of stuff over there. So, we shall see. Well, and I'm still finishing up Twin Peaks, of course. I am now 1 episode away from the end of the first season. I'm still enjoying that. As an atmospheric piece, I enjoy it for its datedness, I enjoy it for its Lynchianness, and I enjoy it for a young Ray Wise. I'm telling you, it's just so weird to see him being young and, like, active and shit. And, like, one night, because we're still watching Fresh Off the Boat, which has creeping racism in it that is starting to bug me, but we're still watching it, and it still has some pretty hilarious bits. And it still is funny in a lot of ways because of its time frame, because it's mid-90s. There's a lot of reference stuff to that that is really amusing. But he's in that show. He's an old gentleman who's a neighbor of theirs, and he married a hot young second wife sort of thing, and the wife is actually much more involved in the show, but he's still there. And so literally watched an episode of that show with him being an old man, to the degree that they went out to play touch football and he had like the old time like leather helmet and stuff and then immediately watched episode of Twin Peaks where he's the father of the girl that was killed and he's having a mental breakdown. So he's really young, no gray hair, and he's just like sobbing and like dancing by himself in a bar and things. And it's just so trippy. I love that. And I don't think I ever didn't have this, but I feel like Kyle MacLachlan is an underappreciated actor.
Why do you say that?
Well, because I feel like he's never had... he's never done stuff that seemed like people really took him seriously. And I didn't ever see him on, what was it, Dynasty? He was on one of the primetime soaps for many years. I didn't see him on that.
I don't know.
I saw him in Dune, and he chewed the fuck out of the scenery. So, I mean, that's not a really good judge. Anybody would have been weird in that part, so it's hard to tell. And he's on S.H.I.E.L.D., or he was, at least, a while back. But he's really good in this. And it's really weird because he's playing a character that's eccentric to the degree of sort of implausibility. But it's kind of believable. And he's our hero. I mean, he's our protagonist. But it's David Lynch, so there's weird shit. Like, he keeps recording stuff on a dictaphone for Diane, who presumably is his secretary. I'm already like, I'll bet she doesn't exist. Because it's David Lynch. And there was a weird shit where he recorded on the tape recorder, can you mail me such and such? And I'm like, how is she going to know that? It's a tape recorder. But yeah, I'm still digging Twin Peaks.
He was in Blue Velvet, right?
I don't know. I didn't see Blue Velvet, but it would make sense. I mean,
oh man,
he and Lynch clearly.
I saw it recently because my brother-in-law wanted me to watch it.
Yeah,
it was. Well, I mean, there's a reason I'd never seen Blue Velvet myself.
Well, and
it was not my kind of thing.
No, in general, I don't think you should go near Lynch except Straight Story. Except, actually, I think Twin Peaks would work. Have you seen?
I've watched a few episodes just out of curiosity because neither my wife and I had seen it when it was on. And it wasn't terrible or anything, but it just wasn't our cup of tea.
It's very atmospheric. Like, I don't actually give a fuck who killed Laura Palmer, for the record. And there are, my investment is, there are some people on that show that I really hate. And I mean, I'm supposed to, but they've made some people into really horrific individuals. And so I'm really hoping like they'll get killed, but otherwise I don't really care. It's just sort of the atmosphere of it. But yeah, when I think to David Lynch movies, Straight Story is fine. Mulholland Drive would not be for you.
No, we've seen it.
Oh, and what did you think?
No, we liked it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I understand why you'd say that though.
Yeah. Eraserhead, I haven't seen, but I'm pretty confident would not be your cup of tea.
I think we've seen that, and wow. Yeah, not big fans of it.
Very few people is that their cup of tea, I believe.
But Blue Velvet is, I mean, it's early, I don't know. If you saw it, I think...
Well, I feel like I should, because I'm developing an appreciation of him. I get... He's got problems. He's definitely got problems.
I'm just saying, if you saw it, you might realize when I say it's not my cup of tea that I'm talking about something that maybe you weren't aware of that I was talking about. I don't know.
I have some theories.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something.
Okay.
And you're going to say you don't have an answer and not want to answer this. But you have to work in hypotheticals here. Just try and use your creative. How attractive do you think Idris Elba is?
I refreshed my memory as to who that even is.
He's the most popular black British man in the world right now. He's in. He was in Pacific Rim.
The general guy?
He's Heimdall in the Thor things.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Attractive in terms of what?
As in.
Like, if I was writing a script...
If you liked men, would you like to fuck him?
That doesn't help.
I know, but that's... I mean, but that should be a pretty basic explanation of what I mean. Even if it doesn't help you answer it.
No,
You should be able to understand what I'm talking about.
Well, okay, I understand what you're talking about. You're right, but no. If I was writing a script and I wanted a...
sexy leading man?
You gotta be more specific than that. I was writing a character who was attracted to this guy, and I needed to cast someone who I thought would be believable in the.
Okay, let's go with that.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
I want the audience watching to believe that this character's. Actually, that doesn't really help very much either.
You're a mess. You're the only guy in the world who can't cope with this without it actually being about homophobia. And I know it's not about homophobia in your case, so you're just weird.
No, I don't. I'm not homophobic.
No, I know.
I just need a frame of reference, and I don't really have one. Why are you asking this question? Maybe if some because, context to the question, I could...
Well, because two things have happened simultaneously. One... is I've discovered that my sort of assumption that most everybody finds him really attractive, I mean, insofar as they do, that he is widely accepted as incredibly attractive, is not necessarily accurate. I don't think anybody finds him distinctly unattractive, but... learning this simultaneously with learning the fact that apparently I find him intensely attractive and wasn't really aware of this... I don't know what it is. Here's the context for you, and it's very strange. He's in a commercial right now for a video game called Rainbow Six Siege. The commercial is, it's, the game is, I mean, it's Rainbow Six, so it's, you know, military shooter stuff. But Siege, the whole point is it's multiplayer shit where basically there's a building and one team is trying to hold the building and the other team is trying to break into it. So it's a very different kind of game than a lot of these. And the commercial is basically a live-action version of that happening while he's there just sort of narrating and looking at the camera and being in scenes, but, like, nobody's paying attention to him. And he's in this long black coat and he looks really badass. And I don't know why, but I find him crazy attractive in this. And I realized that I find him crazy attractive to a really high degree. Like, we've discussed before that although I do identify as bisexual, I have way issues with male sexuality. And male sexuality kind of scares me in a lot of ways. I feel like I could completely overcome that problem with him.
Okay, to be fair, there are a lot of... You could ask me if I find particular female actors attractive, and I would have similar problems.
Absolutely, yes.
Just for the fact of attractiveness
is...
You're
a disaster. Or you're not, my mom.
Attractiveness is not, for me, so much a function of what they look like. I mean, I don't know, you know... My first answer might be, well, I don't know this person, so I can't tell you if they're attractive or I'm attracted to them. Now, I have found myself attracted to female characters and things, but I can't say I'm attracted to that actor or actress because I don't know her. Yeah. You know, this is a character.
You're my mom.
And, you know, if it has to do with men, I just don't even... Men just don't register for me that way. I don't really have a frame of reference for that.
You should work on that.
Why?
Because I think it's appropriate for people to be at least as aware of both genders as they are of one in that kind of context.
I don't even know what you mean by that. I mean, I could pay attention to whether or not other, like, women or gay men or bisexual men find this person attractive, and I could say, yeah, that person's attractive because I know you think they are, and I know this woman. I can do that, I suppose, but I mean, I'm not really interested in expending any mental energy on that.
This is just a damn straight person thing again. I don't understand all you people who just pick one sex to be attracted to.
What makes you think we pick it?
Well, that's how I like to say it. I believe that all people are just bisexuals in denial.
Well, most bisexuals I know think that way.
That's good. No, I just think that y'all are a mess. I feel like you're half people. It's terrible.
Well, maybe you would be if you were trying to be straight.
The thing is, even back when I thought I was straight, I could still be like, yeah, no, I get it about that guy. But I guess maybe that was just latent attraction myself. Now, in retrospect, I guess that maybe that's what it was. But I've never...
Well, but this is what
I've never had problems with the idea of...
This is what I'm saying.
Do I sort of academically find that person attractive, even if I'm not personally attracted to them? I've never had trouble with that.
How would you know if someone's academically attractive if you're not attracted to them?
It becomes sort of an art appreciation thing. Well, it's the same thing. Like, they talk about, scientifically speaking, there are proportions of facial features that people generally tend to find.
But you're talking about physically attractive. And that's why I'm saying even
scientifically, they've cited that the placement of facial features.
I mean, that's not like some hard and fast rule or something. And that's why I said a second ago, I would say the same thing about a woman in terms of attract. I mean, if you're saying, is this person attractive? I'm going to respond the way I respond to attractiveness, which is like a whole package. It's not just based on someone's appearance. Even a woman, it's not just based on a person's appearance. Now, that said, I can understand how, if I know a person and I know that people find him attractive, I can figure out why that is. Oh, he's funny, he's smart, he's charismatic. You know, I can, because I'm attracted to funny, smart, and charismatic too in women. And I can imagine someone being attracted to that in a man. But if someone says, what is it about his appearance, like his actual body, that people are attracted to, I'm not going to know that except what someone tells me. Like, well, they say they like his hair, or they say they like his...
Yeah, and I've just never understood that. But as I said...
But I don't appreciate a woman's hair the way some people appreciate a woman's hair.
Yeah, because you're a freak.
I don't think that makes me a freak.
I your inability to judge purely based on physical attractiveness. And I'm not talking actually going out and like picking up people because of that, but to be like, I straight up can't tell you an attractiveness level, even roughly, based on purely physical things, I think is incredibly unusual. It is commendable in theory, but I think it's incredibly unusual.
Well, I mean, I don't want to, I mean, I, it's not that I, if I see a woman and I don't know her, that I can't say, wow, she's beautiful or attractive or whatever. I can do that.
All right. Didn't you just spend like 10 minutes explaining how you couldn't do that?
Well, because that's a different thing. It's like, if you ask me if I'm attracted to her.
Oh, God. Okay. Do you find Idris Elba to be an attractive individual then?
I don't even know him.
Okay. Whatever thing you just said you could do with a woman that you don't know, I'm asking you to do that with Idris Elba. Whatever that is. Because you're doing a lot of this version I'm saying is attractive, this version I'm saying attracted. It's getting weirdly
like I
semantic.
Well, I mean, the semantics mean something
well,
to me.
I know, but I just need you to understand what I'm saying and then respond to it. So what I'm saying is whatever thing you said you could do with a woman that you just see and you don't know and that you could rate
if I see a woman and I don't know her, I can say that she's pretty or that, you know, I'm not incapable of liking a woman's eyes or hair or whatever, and I don't even know her. I just... There's no...
So whatever evaluation that is, do that for me with regard to Idris Elba.
Well, I don't do... When it comes to men, I just don't... I mean, I don't... It doesn't happen with men. It only happens with women.
And you're incapable of doing it with a man.
I don't know. It just never... It never has happened. I don't do it.
Well, here's the weird thing. I'm asking you right now. Why don't you try it right now? Think about Idris Elba and try.
It's just a guy.
So we are establishing that you can't.
I guess.
Okay.
But I don't know if I can't. I just know I don't.
Yeah, but I feel like if I ask you your opinion about something and you're like, I've never had an opinion on that before, my response is, that doesn't mean you can't have one right now with me asking.
Yeah, it doesn't.
So saying I don't do that to me is not saying I can't answer that question. That's
right.
Saying I've never happened to answer a question
So you've asked me and I'm thinking about him.
At least at this point, it seems that you cannot.
Well, maybe it just means that I don't. That I don't see him and think, I don't know what, that he's a good-looking guy.
Well, maybe when it comes to attractive physical features, attractive is too closely tied to feminine. Because of, I don't know, hormonal reasons or whatever for you?
I don't know. These are really good questions, actually. I don't know. I can't.
I
can't explain it. I mean, I'm
always surprised, and as you might have gathered from my voice, you get a little frustrated with the number of concepts that you at least claim that you like your mind can't even cope with. Like, there seems to be a lot of stuff that you're like, my brain doesn't even think that way. I can't even begin to fathom that idea to answer the question. And I'm like, that comes up a lot for you.
How so?
In that almost probably 60% of the questions that come out of the hat, you're like, I can't answer that. We've just got all the would you rather hypotheticals. Now we've got guys who are attractive. Other
well,
times
I just,
we
I don't have any.
Feel
I,
about.
I don't have a. I don't have
There's a lot of times where you're just like, I don't even think that way, so I can't possibly. And that just comes up a lot. And it comes up very rarely for me in my life with anyone else. And it comes up for you more than all the other people together. Like,
well, I'm part of that, so I overthink things. You know that. Like sometimes it's just the problem is I just don't even understand. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, but I mean,
to come up a lot that you don't.
Well, I know because and it might just be
you're
that,
a really smart guy.
Well, actually, so. That's nice of you to say, but I don't. I can't explain it. There's just, you know, I spend a lot of my time being baffled by everything. I mean, I spend a lot of time in my day just being confused by what people are saying and by what people are doing.
Yeah. And I mean, I get that because you're not very smart.
Right,
but,
exactly. That's what I keep saying. And I don't get it.
And honestly, that can be frustrating sometimes too. But to me, this is sort of a different category because I'm not asking you to successfully answer something about the outside world. I'm asking for your personal opinion on something. So when you're like, I'm incapable of giving a personal opinion,
well, but
on
I don't,
this, that to me if sounds I don't so
have,
weird.
If I don't have an opinion, how can I give you one? I mean, do I have to have an opinion about everything?
I'm going to say yes.
Really?
And the opinion can sometimes be, I really don't care, flip a coin. well, because on some things,
I feel
especially
like
if it's a yes or no thing, and I'm like, I am super neutral, then the answer is literally flip a coin. Either one seems the same to me, or I care about them equally little.
But I can't have no opinion whatsoever.
No, I don't believe so.
Do you think it's impossible for a person to not have an opinion about something?
Yes, because I think how you would define not having opinion, I would
you would say I don't.
I would define as having a neutral opinion at the time, and with the understanding that it's frequently based on woefully little information.
Well, let's call it a neutral opinion then. How doesn't that equal no opinion?
I mean, again, I think we might just be getting into weird.
I mean, you just said a second ago, flip a coin. Why flip a coin? Why not just live with the fact that the opinion is neutral and there it is?
Well, no, but here's the thing. If I say,
I mean, why flip a coin at all?
If I say, do you like this or this better? And you say, you know what? I feel about equal. Either one. I don't really care. Either one is fine.
Okay.
I'm like, okay.
And what if I say
your opinion?
What if I say?
And
I
if I say to you, what do you think of this versus this, and you say, I can't even answer that. Or, because to me, that's a different thing, and I don't understand that answer.
Well, what if I just don't know? I mean, like if you were comparing two different things and wanted me to pick, and one of them I just don't know anything about, how can I give you an answer?
I still think you can extrapolate. If you could tell me right now, do you prefer food X or food Y? And they can be two foods that I have never had in my life.
But if one of them
I could still give you an opinion.
Really?
I absolutely could.
How do you do that?
I say, well, all I know about food X is this, this, and this. All I know about food Y is this. Based on that and the other food preferences I have, if I had to, it's the gun to your head thing. Like, if I had to pick right now, it's this. Now, the odds that I would be wrong are quite high.
Oh.
But that's fine.
Oh, okay.
Because, again, nobody's actually putting a gun to my head. And if the result is I taste them both and I'm like, oh, that was wrong, they're not going to shoot me.
Yeah, right.
But I'm like, you can always have an opinion, in my opinion. It can often be like, well, this is really just a guess on virtually no information, and it's not a strong opinion.
Okay.
But here's how. And to me, again, the same thing. If you're like, you know what? I know so little about them that I don't really have a preference either way. I'm kind of in the middle or whatever. To me, that's different from, like I said, what I usually get from you, where you just look at me like, how would I possibly answer that question?
Well, that's
just
how
it feels. Just don't even look at me, because I can't
even... No.
My
brain
can't even comprehend what you're saying.
It's not quite like that, okay? It's just... I don't know how to explain it to you. I mean, just sometimes I just... I don't...
Let me put it this way. You could ask how attractive I found a particular dog we saw walking by, and I could give you an answer.
See, again, I could
not. I don't like dogs.
Now, do you think that everybody could give me an answer?
I absolutely... Well, everybody in the general humanity versus William thing, yes. There are probably some lunatics out there like you.
Like me, okay.
And actually, what most people are going to do in that situation, because they're afraid that somehow it implies they want to fuck a dog, they're all going to say that dog is incredibly unattractive.
Well, I suppose.
And this is the thing. I expect, probably inappropriately, I expect more from you in that I expect you to be able... You're a creative person, and to me that's tied into that. You should be able to come up with an opinion. With the full disclaimer that, like, this is outside of the scope of stuff that I normally... like, I'm not attracted to any dog ever. Given that, if I had to rate dog attractiveness, that dog... You know, I like the color of the coat. It's kind of fluffy. I feel like it'd be soft and nice. Oh, it's a big dog. I feel like that's a pretty attractive dog. Or like, no, that dog with the smushed face, no butt. No, that is an unattractive dog. Like, you know?
Okay, kind of, like, I see what you're saying.
What?
Okay.
My wife feels I should not discuss how attractive I find dogs.
So what you're really saying is you're offended by how I'm not bringing my what you perceive as my usual and perhaps even I don't want to say impressive, but considerable creativity to bear on this question.
No, I would not say your usual, but I would say considerable. Because that's the thing, this comes up a lot. And I wouldn't say I'm offended. Here's what I would say. I am confused, frequently, because you seem to view it as a genuine limit of your ability, which I pretty much am willing to say for a fact I believe is not true.
Well, I don't know if I mean to convey that, but I get what you're saying.
And I also get frustrated, because here's the thing. If I say, do you find that dog attractive? I'm and well, you say, shut up.
Okay, but see.
Then the conversation ends. If I say, do you find that dog attractive? And you give any opinion, no matter what it is, we can totally keep the conversation going, even if we know it's bullshit. But if you're like, I can't even answer that, I'm not going to answer that. Conversation's dead. And we run a podcast here, dude. We got to talk.
Right, but if I don't have an opinion, I don't have an opinion.
Which, as now, we've established, I don't believe is possible.
Well, and I think you're wrong about that.
Yes.
But...
You have an opinion on an opinion.
That's right.
I also have an opinion on an opinion.
Also, the context for me isn't... It's not a question of creativity. It's a question of honesty. And I you know, for whatever reason, I don't feel like just making something up or misrepresenting...
Yeah,
my own ideas.
If you don't, I mean, because there is stuff I don't have an opinion on because nobody's ever asked me. The food X and food Y, at present, I've never heard of them, so I certainly don't have an opinion right now. But as soon as you introduce them, I can come up with an opinion. Again, real loose opinion, real opinion that could be subject to change real fast as soon as I learned anything else. But it's an opinion. And especially in a lot of, this is especially with the would you rather things. Because the would you rather things... Never going to come up.
Okay, now I'm not the only person who has a problem with hypothetical situations. I mean, that's a thing a lot of people struggle with.
There are people who don't like them, which I'm fine with because that's their opinion. And there are people, hell, I do this sometimes, who struggle with specific ones. But you approach it as it's just impossible for you to do.
Well, I'm not really intending to portray it as a limit to my capabilities, like my brain can't think, but I'm faced with a choice to either present what feels like a lie because I'm just making something up for the sake of having something to say. It doesn't reflect in any way what I actually think, feel, believe, or just admitting that I don't really know and I don't really have an opinion. Now, I recognize that for most people, whatever they're saying, especially in those would you rather scenarios, it's all in fun. I mean, they're not seriously saying they would rather do this than that. I get that, but it's my brain.
Rather eat dog shit or something else horrible. I feel like we can take as read, nobody wants to...
No, that's right. That's exactly right, and I get that. But, I don't know. It's sort of a self-training thing, you know? It comes down to... There are some things that I take very seriously. Too seriously, probably. And, you know, I'll get uncomfortable with the notion of saying something that I think isn't true, even if it doesn't matter, even if it's all in fun, even if it's just a joke, even if it's on the podcast.
Well, and I think that becomes a thing, though, because your definition of isn't true, again, I still feel like you can say, well, I have very little knowledge of this. Based on the tiny bit of knowledge, this is what I would go with, on the understanding that as soon as I open up a Wikipedia page, I could totally change my opinion. Like, I mostly I'm just like, what are you worried will happen if you can't handle the dog shit or cat shit?
I don't think there's anything in particular I'm worried what's going to happen. I think it's just, again, I don't have an opinion about it, which I'm perfectly comfortable accepting that people don't have an opinion about things. And if I don't have an opinion about something, that's what I'm going to say. And I don't feel comfortable saying anything else.
Maybe that's it. Because I think that's the fundamental thing, is I don't think you can't have an opinion. I think you can have a neutral opinion, but I do think that is a different thing.
Okay.
So that must be it then. Tell us if you think... Now, this is a serious one. We always say go on a blog, but I'm very curious about this. Because I feel like that's the fundamental issue right there. Can you have no opinion on something? Or let me I want to do this even. Because if you, again, to go back to the, would you, you know, food X, food Y. If I've never heard of those until right now, I suppose I technically didn't have an opinion until then. But then I can form one, however tentative. So are we establishing that there can be circumstances in which you can't have a real opinion?
I don't know what a real opinion is, I guess. I mean,
you were talking about the not a lie, so. If I say which sounds tastier to you, we can avoid dog fucking. Which sounds tastier to you, food X, food Y, and you've never had either of them.
Right.
Or anything that's too similar. But I can tell you, like, this is made from blah, or this is a plant found blah, or whatever. And you have no opinion because you've never heard of these before.
Okay.
Could you form one that's not a lie?
I don't see how. I don't know how to do that. That's
the fundamental spot there. How do you people feel about that? Because to me, I could be like, well, that one is like meat based, and this one is not, and I'd like meat, so probably that one. May turn out that's disgusting, or you know, or oh, that one is Chinese, I like Chinese. That one is Russian, I tend not to like Russian food, so probably, you know. But again, haven't tried them, don't really know. To me, I can always have an opinion, however tentative.
In everything you just said, I didn't think you expressed an opinion, because you said you didn't know.
I picked the Chinese food.
Oh, you did pick, okay.
Yeah, because I tend to like Chinese food, right. And I tend not to like Russian food,
okay.
So I picked the Chinese food. The meat one, I picked the meat one, because I tend to like meat. Okay. Now, again, these are hypothetical. I'm not saying that's actually what I would pick in that circumstance, but I'm saying that's the opinion I say. Well, based on, I'm extrapolating from other things, which means the odds of me being wrong are quite high. But it's still, to me, more interesting than just,
I will not argue with the assertion it's more interesting.
It's definitely more interesting. Can you have a situation where you can't form an opinion? That's what I want people to go on the blog and write about, because I'm very curious.
That's interesting too. A situation where you can't form an opinion. You made a choice, but did you really form an opinion? You guessed. You guessed at which thing you might like.
Exactly. That's all anybody's asking you to do when they're playing Would You Rather, is to guess. It's a guess. It's always a guess. I mean, if you genuinely are like, I know and I have this opinion, that's fine. But if you don't, guess. And that's not the same as flipping a coin, unless you truly are neutral.
That doesn't seem to me the same as forming an opinion either. Guessing.
All right, then we got to start switching and saying guessing.
Okay, so start with your original question. Would I guess that that guy's attractive?
Well, that one's trickier, because that... guess works better in either or. But yeah, we can do that. Hypothetically, if you were attracted to men, would you guess that Idris Elba would be the kind of man you'd be attracted to physically? There we go. That should work, right?
No, because you throw me in there. That doesn't make any sense to me. But I think I can say I would guess that he is attractive to whoever. I would guess that. I don't know what I base that guess on.
You can't guess if he would be attracted to you were you attracted to men.
Well, here's something I can guess on about being attracted to men. It'd probably work the same way as me being attracted to women, and it would probably have little to do with how a man looks. I'd probably be attracted to the same thing I am attracted to women. Funny, intelligent. Yes.
But we have established there are features you find attractive.
In women.
Yes.
Because I'm heterosexual, so.
If you... did it, if you were bisexual or homosexual, what features do you guess you might be attracted to in men? And does Idris Elba possess
them? Okay, that, well, that's the part I don't know. Okay.
We can pull up a picture. So.
When it comes to...
Physical features.
When it comes to women, I'm mostly attracted to the eyes and the smile and the laugh and things like that, I guess, mostly.
Do you expect that's how it would be if you, for men? Because this is an interesting one. I find attractive in men physically and what I find attractive in women physically tends to be different. And actually, I have this thing with Trish. Trish frequently likes more androgyny from both sides. And I find I like gender expression, whichever one you tend to pick. But I tend to like really femme-looking people or really butch-looking people, sort of regardless of whether they're actually male or female.
I guess I have no idea. I imagine it would be the same kind of thing. Kind of thing. Like, would it be the same kind of thing but switched in some gendered way? Don't know. I have no way of knowing that.
And at least to a certain degree, because if you stuck the eyes of a woman you find particularly attractive and stuck them on a man, it might look weird, depending on other features.
It might.
So
maybe it wouldn't. I don't know.
That is a factor. Now I'm trying to think of a good would you rather and have you make a guess.
I'll say this. There are some times where I'll feel like a woman in the features that I like, the face, you know, smile or whatever, looks, for lack of a better term, strikes me as looking masculine.
Yeah, no.
And I don't jive that with that very well. That
tends to not be one for
you.
I used to be like, I don't know, I'm finding, because that's the other thing I've discovered over the years, is my physical attractions are really diverse. So, like, if you said, like, build your perfect physical specimen, I'd be like, no, I need to give you about 12. And I have very specific things, but there's 12 different ones, you know, like... Like, I like this kind of body with this kind of hair and stuff, or this totally different kind of body with these eyes and this kind of hair. Like, I have very weird, diverse types that I'm into. And I, like, tend to like things. So I'm discovering that there's a certain type of what you're describing that I kind of am into now. But it's interesting. This reminds me, I think it was sophomore year in high school, was my first ever experience with someone that I had found physically attractive, got to know them as a person, and found them so unattractive as a person that I couldn't find them physically attractive anymore. Like, when I looked at them, they no longer looked pretty to me or attractive or beautiful to me. That was the first time I had ever experienced it. Because, you know, puberty and everything. So, like, even if I... didn't like, I'm like, but they're hot, or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And this person, I'm like, I totally thought this person was hot. And I found out they were just a terrible person. And then when I looked at them, they always looked unattractive after that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really freaky at first. And then I'm like, whoa, I think this is like growing up. This is a maturity thing.
Yeah, this isn't bad. Fascinating. This is good.
But no, seriously, I feel like this is a really good place for discussion. So go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and talk to us about, opinions. How do you form them? Can you form them in any circumstance? How does it relate to guessing? What are the ramifications? That kind of stuff. Because I find this very interesting, and I think there are some very fundamental things that I think and believe that is causing our disconnect here that are so fundamental that I'm not sure I'm entirely aware of them. But I think some basic things sort of about how I see people in the world that may be why I sort of don't get where you're coming from.
Well, you know...
It's one thing to disagree, but to be like, I'm not really even sure what your brain is doing.
Well, when it comes to the issues of physical attractiveness, too, I've always not... I mean, I had some really, maybe unique experiences growing up around issues of physical attractiveness. Like, I was aware very young how arbitrary standards of physical attractiveness was and how culturally bound, you know, they are.
Yeah.
They relate to hearing people say things about my mom who was overweight and hearing people say things about her when I was little that hurt her feelings and things. And so, I mean, I just don't really put a lot of stock into it. I don't even remember putting stock into it my whole life.
Legitimately telling my mother, not attempting to be mean or anything, I really thought this was the truth. And I told her that she looked like my third grade teacher at the time. And she said, really? You think I look like her? And I said, well, not really your head or your legs. And my mom said, so you mean her body? Thanks. And I could tell she was mad. And I immediately knew when she said that why she was mad. And I was like, but that's not what I meant. But that is what I meant. But I wasn't even aware of it. That's the thing. In my head, they looked alike. But what I was saying was they were both overweight women of a similar age.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But even I wasn't even aware of that at the time. I genuinely thought I was making an interesting observation that they look similar.
Yep, yep,
and once she said it, I felt horrible. And part of it, although I think I was still sort of in denial, was that I knew that's what I had sort of accidentally said.
Yeah.
And that I wasn't going to say it wasn't true. I mean, that was the truth. And that was what I meant. I just wasn't aware that was what I meant. Because I was a kid.
Exactly.
And really, they didn't look alike at all. But they were both overweight women of a similar, at least from my perspective as a third grader, similar age. I'm not sure actually how close in age they were. But they were both, you know, old to an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
All right. Well, again, that is impressive this time. We're almost out of time again, so we should draw something.
Okay.
Dig deep.
It's a really vivid memory. That
time.
Anyway, coffee.
Wow, coffee's getting a lot of action.
Describe your opinions on cursive handwriting.
Oh my god, have I got things to say about this?
You do?
Well,
because all I have to say about it is I didn't like it when I was learning it. I didn't understand what the point of it was. I did realize you could maybe write a little faster, I guess. And if you were note-taking, you could write faster. But at the end of everything, when I was in college, I didn't write in cursive when I kept notes.
I feel like
so.
The implication is supposed to be that it's more attractive, that it's essentially like calligraphy, you know, and that it's pretty. But I don't know. But no, I have.
I never liked it. And I find it hard to read no matter who writes it. So.
Yes, but it's worse in some cases. And so here's my thing. Some people have shitty handwriting.
I sure did.
It's out there. People do. There's jokes, you know, doctors, especially, whatever, whatever. But people do. And most of them, at least by the time I've encountered them, are aware of this.
Okay.
Nobody's like, what? I have crappy handwriting? No, everyone's like, yeah, everybody always tells me that. They tease me, you know. Nobody's like, oh my God, this whole time. I thought, no, everybody is. And I get that. And I don't know how good mine is because I haven't used script in a long time. I print. My father does block capital printing, except he doesn't lift up the pen, so they're still kind of connected.
Hmm.
But it's very clearly print characters. Now my handwriting, when I'm printing, when I write stuff, I would not say is attractive. It's kind of ugly.
Yeah, mine's awful.
But it's legible. This is what I'm printing. This is what I'm printing.
Yeah.
Mine is entirely legible. You definitely can read it. You might not like looking at it, but you can read it. So, you're a person, not you, a person, hypothetical you, is a person with shitty handwriting and is aware of this.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get the gall to keep writing in script? We had surveys that I had to tabulate or whatever, and I got them. And I'm like, you handwrote in cursive your responses here, clearly knowing you had shitty handwriting that's hard to read. How do you just think you get to do that? Like, why... Where are you like, oh, no, I can just fill out forms and people can just work it out. And if they can't, I guess that's their problem.
Well, I mean,
on my application for a marriage license. I mean, come on, people.
Is it just laziness? Because I think people think writing in script is quicker because you're not picking up the pen as often and stuff.
Especially in this day and age where we hardly do it anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, take the time. Because when you're writing, if you're writing shit for yourself, that's fine. If you're writing shit in a birthday card and... then I just think, whatever, you're still kind of an asshole. But I'm like, this is on survey form. This is on paperwork you turn in, when you're handwriting shit, there's usually a reason for it, and it's probably in everyone's best interest, including you, especially you sometimes, that they be able to read it. And you know that people have a hard time reading it, so why the hell are you doing it? How do... Goddamn doctors! It's a cliche. The doctors have it. Doctors are writing shit down like, give them this pill or they die, or don't give them this pill or they die. How do they think that's okay? How are they like, somebody will figure it out?
I don't know.
That's insane.
And that's a really good question. I never really thought about it like that before.
And it's incredibly common.
Yeah.
Everybody, all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? I mean, because that's the thing. If people were in denial about their handwriting, that's okay. And a certain percentage probably are. People tease me about it, but I don't think it's that bad a thing. But I mean, I know people who straight up pick up a note they read and can't be sure. But I know it's not going to be the last note they write that way.
Yeah, even if they expect someone else to read it and understand
it. How is that okay? Like,
I don't know.
We're living in a society here,
yeah,
people.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, especially nowadays, the number of times you have to handwrite is minor.
Yeah.
So, why would you be like, oh, whatever. Why would you it's half-assing official communication in most cases. Which is the one time, I mean, I half-ass communication all over the place. Not when it's official. Not when they're asking me, what allergies to medications do you have? That is not the time to be, oh, I'm allergic to... You wouldn't do that! If people said, are you allergic to medications, you would not say, I'm allergic to... And that's what you're doing, on paper.
Yeah.
I'm just going to write out Hermeser, and then what part of Fusiver do you not understand? And if you give me Hermeser, I'm going to die.
Well, maybe they just don't know how to spell penicillin, and they just are embarrassed.
So they're just like, I have that. So when you go to the pharmacy and you get something, you have to sign a thing for it. And they don't even care if you're them. Somebody just has to sign.
Mm.
And so now it's electronic at the Hy-Vee one. And it's a... Have you tried to sign on electronic things?
No.
It sucks.
Oh, yeah. For lots of... Yeah.
Yeah. And this one reads pretty easy. So I basically have a Hy-Vee prescription signature. And it's basically a lazy sine wave.
Yeah, it looks like crap.
No, it's not my name. It is literally just... That's it. But I've done it... What? Basically, yeah. It's essentially an X. It's just a squiggle line that has no attachment to my name. I'm not attempting to have it be any attachment. The thing accepts it. But, I mean, originally it was just I was lazy, whatever. And they didn't care either. But I've done it so many times that I'm pretty sure I have a specific one now. It's a specific meaningless squiggle that I use just there.
Well,
and I tell them about it, and I'm like, this is my pharmacy signature.
When you become famous, you can use it for signing autographs.
Oh, my God. That is something that pisses me off, too. A lot of things piss me off. my Social Security card?
Yeah.
I was of a time, I didn't, I got it when I was old enough that I actually signed my name on it.
Oh yeah, I think I did on mine too.
And I signed it, I must have learned cursive by then because I signed it in cursive, and I signed it in real cursive, which means I have that cursive A that looks dumb because it looks like a giant lowercase a.
Yeah.
That's not what my signature looks like now. I have been through two signatures since then. But that's what's on my Social Security.
Well, when you put your signature on something, do you use Anthony or just Tony?
I use Anthony. The dream of mine, which was fine until the place I work now fucked it up, was that all official records would always say Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
Because then there's no confusion.
That's right. That's
now,
why
now, stuff at work, some stuff says Anthony, some says Tony. And guess what? There's confusion.
Yep.
And I just thought it was a safer bet. But no, now I have a thing. Because, I mean, my signature is still cursive. But the A is a, it looks like a capital print A,
yeah.
If somebody said, how do you think a cursive capital A would look? And they had never seen cursive, it's what that would look
like. Yeah.
And that's what I do now. But also, I had a short period of time in high school where I decided my signature was going to be TK Parsons.
Okay.
And it was a thing where I drew the top of the T and then straight down to the vertical line of the K, and they were connected, and then I would put in the rest of the T. So it was very stylized bullshit. And so some stuff I can still find out is signed that way. So I've had three different official signatures, and my Social Security one is one that's so old, I'm not even sure I could sign that way anymore.
How'd stuff get Tony on it at work? Like, other people would put Tony on it?
Yeah, people did it without asking. Yeah. And that's basically, I think, what killed it originally was they did my name badge that way. And once it was that, everybody saw that and assumed that's how you do it. And so then my email was. Well, but then there's other things, like the IT people have it as Anthony, and there are some places where I'm Poshins A.
And that's exactly why when I started working at Applied, I had people call me William, because I knew if I didn't, it would cause problems.
And I have always been of the opinion that on any official document, I would call myself Anthony, and then Tony is what people would call me, and now it just hasn't worked. And it's still true most everywhere else.
Well, you know, that's just the way it goes. But I always liked the name William, so I was fine with people start calling me that.
I'm still weirded out by the idea of you as a Bill.
Lots of people are. Lots of people since 1998, when I started going by William. So everyone who knows me after 1998 calls me William and knows me that way. And just about all of them will say, I can't even imagine calling you Bill.
No,
which is weird, because everyone before 98 is like, I can't call you William. That's weird. You're a Bill.
My freshman college roommate, Theo, who we didn't find out until after he'd been there for a while and people called for him on the phone, had never gone by Theo before then. His name was Theodore, and he went by Ted. Mm-hmm. And then actually, either at a certain time period or with certain people, he went by Yancey, which was his middle name.
Mm-hmm.
But then when he came to college, he decided it was a time to reinvent, so he went by Theo. But it was weird because people would call for Ted. And we were always like, you don't look like a Ted, or you could be a Yancey, I suppose. Because he was raised by a hippie mom, and like he had dreads and stuff. He was a hippie white kid. So he totally looked like a Theo, and he could have been a Yancey, but he didn't look like a Ted.
Huh.
But that was very weird. We are over time, so we should go for now. Tune in next week when you'll hear this week's that you didn't hear, that we haven't done yet, because we're in last week.
Yep.
So think that through.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.